Welcome to another episode of Harden My Take, the number one podcast on thedreamshake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets on sbnation.com. Jeremy Brenner here, and we are recording this just mere minutes after the Rockets defeated the best team in the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks, in their second game in the bubble. Final score of 120-116. Michael Brown, how huge of a win is this?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, this during our last show, we talked about how big the Mavericks game would be. I don't smoke, but I feel like I need a cigarette after this game.
Matt Thomas tweeted that.
I know. I was thinking that, and man, there are so many things to break down from this game that wow. Incredible win, man. I mean,
two games have been a real treat.
Yeah,
let's just say that these first two games, not just the fact that they were wins, but the fashion in which these wins came, it was just crazy. And the fact that there's only two games into the bubble, Mike. We still have six games to go before the playoffs actually start. These two games have felt more like the playoffs than anything else that isn't actually a playoff game, honestly.
Yeah, and they're treating it as such. You can see it outside of, I would say, the first two quarters of the Mavericks game. Since the second half of the Mavericks game through tonight's game, this team is playing with an intensity where they know that their time is right now. It is time for them to turn it on to a level that they have not shown all year. And this team is fun, man. This team is so much fun to watch. I don't know about you, but I really enjoy watching this team play. Mostly because you just never know what's going to happen. You know, like, is Harden going to throw it up from 40 feet out and hit it? Is Westbrook going to throw down a nasty dunk? Is McLemore going to hit, you know, a three off the side of the backboard where it's not even close to going in? You just don't know. And that's what's fun about this team.
Yeah. So, honestly, I don't think – look, in my entire Rockets fandom existence and, you know, just sports in general, I don't think I've seen a team that has put you on such a roller coaster of emotions in one game. Because I think we felt every single emotion possible in these last two games. There's excitement. There's shock. There's, you know, just disappointment. There's, you know, sheer, like, jaw-dropping moments. And this is just one game. Like, this is one game. This was absolute. And maybe this is because we haven't seen Rockets basketball in over 4 months. But, man, this, we have a lot to break down. So let's just get to some stats first to go with the game. The Rockets had 31 from Russ, a team high, 24 from James Harden on just 5 of 14 shooting. All five starters in double figures. House had 16, Covington 15, Tucker 11. On the flip side, Giannis had 36, a game high 36, to go with 18 rebounds. Chris Middleton, 27 and 12. And Brooke Lopez, 23 and 12. So, but honestly, other than those three guys, Mike, the rest of the Bucks, the Rockets did a pretty good job defending those guys. I mean, Wes Matthews, 1 of 6. DiVincenzo, 1 of 6 from three. Kyle Korver, who I think if Kyle Korver just got the ball a little bit more and he got a little bit hot, I think the Rockets would have been in danger tonight. He had just 5 points off the bench. So I think it was difficult to stop the big three that they have. But other than that, I think grade the Rockets' defense tonight.
B-plus to an A-minus.
Yeah. And look, 116 points sounds like a lot.
But not the way they played defense against Dallas.
Exactly.
The
defense, especially in the first half. In the first half, they gave up just 54 points on Friday, 85. So they definitely, you could tell that they were making that adjustment right away in the first half. And keep in mind, the Bucks and the Mavs I think the Mavs have like some ridiculous stat where they have like the best offensive, you know, rating in NBA history or something, which is bizarre to me. Maybe it's not exactly right, but the Mavs offense is very good, and the Bucks have the highest scoring offense in the league other than the Rockets. So, I mean, talk about the first two games having a challenge on the defensive end. These two games give it to you, but you come out on top in both of these games. And whether they should have or not, I mean, look, they're 2-0. They could easily been 0-2, but the effort that they've shown in these first two games, 2-0 is definitely deserving. I think we can agree with that.
I think it's definitely deserving. My biggest question that comes from these first two games, if I'm a Rockets fan, is this sustainable? Is the way that they're playing sustainable? You know, when you look at the number of minutes that these guys logged the first two games, I think it was a little bit better allocated tonight. Like, if you look at the minutes played in the game against Dallas, I mean, you have Westbrook playing 44 minutes. He played 38 minutes tonight. You had Harden playing 43 minutes. He played 34 minutes tonight. House played 43 minutes. He played 31 minutes tonight. Granted, the Dallas game went into overtime, but that's my biggest question is, you've seen it now. You know, you've played these first two games against the best offense in the game in Dallas, the best team in the league record-wise in Milwaukee. You play both of these games without Eric Gordon. Now, the Bucks played tonight without Eric Bledsoe, but I don't think you can undermine the defensive job that Wes Matthews did on James Harden tonight. He was outstanding tonight. Yeah. He was just in Harden's face the entire game. And this has been a trend with Harden in Milwaukee. It's something to keep an eye on, obviously, if we meet him in the NBA Finals. The last three games, Harden has not played well against Milwaukee. But to me, that doesn't matter. You won the game. I don't care if you scored 0 points tonight. If you win the game, that's all that matters at this point.
Exactly. And this question, is this sustainable? How do you think small ball will hold up in the playoffs comes from Panic at the Daisy on Twitter. So that's a good, this is a good point, because this was honestly small ball versus tall ball, or just basketball, I guess you could say.
I like what you did there.
But, I mean, look, in terms of rebounding, because rebounding is the obvious stat here where the Rockets just totally got lost. 65-36, they were out-rebounded. But what's the stat we care about the most? 120-116. That's the stat that matters here. And I think the Bucks are about the absolute antithesis of the Rockets. I think if the Rockets and Bucks playing in a 7-game series, I'd still take the Bucks, but I'd take the Bucks in, 5 or 6, maybe 7, if the Rockets are, having good shooting nights like they did, tonight. And honestly, even tonight, they didn't really have a great shooting night. They were under 40% from both the field and from three-point land. But the rebounding here, they were out-rebounded by nearly 30 rebounds, and they still won the game. That proves to me that they can absolutely keep this going in the playoffs. One thing that had me concerned a little bit was towards the end, when the Bucks kind of grew that lead up to 8 and the Rockets just were missing their threes, mainly because I was thinking, maybe the legs are getting tired. And perhaps as they play more games, their legs won't be as fresh as they are in game number 2 versus, whether it be the finals or the conference finals or whatever. But this proves tonight that the Rockets are a contender, absolutely, and they can compete with anyone. They just beat the best team in the league. This, to me, proves that what they are doing is a viable way that you can win basketball games.
Well, look at the three. I mean, you want to talk about the difference tonight. The Bucks shot 9 of 35 from the three-point line, and the Rockets shot 21 of 61. And I will tell you honestly, there were times in the Dallas game where I got really frustrated with the way that the Rockets played, because small ball just makes you want to pull your hair out sometimes.
Because it does.
It's like, stop shooting threes. But then you start thinking about it, and you're like, okay, if you're going to shoot 100 shots in a game, would you rather shoot 100 threes or 100 twos? Well, I'd rather shoot 100 threes.
Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
I think points in the paint tonight, I remember they showed, like, some stat. Yeah, the Bucks had 60 and the Rockets had 20. Well, the thing is, when Harden or Westbrook or whoever was taking up the ball would drive, that would be a wide-open Jeff Green in the corner, a wide-open P.J. Tucker in the corner. And to me, I don't really care about whether it's 2 points or 3 points. If you're getting a good look at the basket, take that shot. Like, absolutely. Russ would get some good open shots from mid-range, take them. And he's good at making them. He shot 10 of 21 tonight, pretty good, and most of those were from inside the three-point line. And that's why the Rockets took so many threes, because most of those were open threes. Most of those were either open with PJ or Jeff Green in the corner, or it'd be Covington or Daniel House from their sweet spots in the middle of the arc, and they were wide open. I have no problem with taking wide open shots. And look, if the Rockets shot 42% tonight, maybe they make three or four more threes. They win this game by 10 plus.
Yeah. PJ Tucker.
Just enough to get the win tonight. And the thing is, what makes me believe that this is sustainable as well is you could argue that they didn't play a perfect game tonight. They played very well defensively, and they also they forced 22 turnovers, which I think was the big reason why they got this win. But also they played their brand of basketball, and it worked for them.
Well, that's a great point, and it leads me to the Bucks should have just gone to Brooke Lopez every single time down the court.
And they did for the most part, and I think they went to Brooke Lopez a lot more than they usually do. Brooke Lopez is not a guy that gets them 23 and 12 in a game.
No. He shot 18 times. Middleton shot 18 times. Antetokounmpo shot 25 times. But there were specific moments where the beard put the clamps on Giannis. And it was like Giannis was trying to force himself into making a play where they very simply should have just gone to Lopez, because the Rockets couldn't stop Brook Lopez. I mean, if he got good positioning, there was no stopping him. And what you've said a couple times, and it really rang home tonight in the end of this game, is that the Rockets forced Milwaukee to play Rockets basketball. The Rockets did not play Milwaukee Bucks basketball tonight. They played Rockets basketball, and the Bucks panicked. The Bucks panicked down the stretch. And there was a couple lapses defensively by the Rockets, but man, I mean, everybody from House, I thought Robert Covington was fantastic tonight. I thought he played probably the best game as a Rocket, I would say. I thought Westbrook was phenomenal tonight.
I thought everyone except James was on their A game tonight. Maybe PJ Tucker as well. But I think PJ also had such a tall task defensively that you can only ask so much from him offensively. Yeah. And look, 11 points from PJ, that's about his season average, or maybe even a little bit higher. So, I mean, other than that, I think I have no qualms with much of the Rockets. And look, James had a bad night, but he set the bar so high for himself on Friday with his 49. And that's the thing. And it's something that we talked about in the podcast leading up to the bubble, is there are going to be some nights where Harden is Batman and Westbrook has to play Robin. And there are some nights where Westbrook gets to be Batman and Harden has to be Robin. Together, the two had 55 points. And that's what we need to expect from them, about 55 to 65 points a night from the two of them. And I don't care which one of them gets it, as long as it's going for the Rockets. And that's what they did tonight. And I think this is the reason why the Rockets should be a contender. This game right here. It wasn't a perfect game by any means, But this game is going to do a lot for the Rockets. It's going to make eyes look at the Rockets if they weren't already there. It makes the Rockets a much more intimidating out. I think teams looked at this, are going to look at film tonight, they're going to look at this game tonight and be like, man, how do we defend this? How do we stop this team? They had James Harden only at 24 points, but the team still scored 120. The Rockets can beat you in more than just Harden. Like, let's get that right. And then if you give Harden some lax and you have to, you know, go and guard the rest of the team, Harden's going to go off for 50 like he did on Friday night. So to me, this proves that the Rockets are going to be a very tough out for every team. And to beat them four times in a series is going to be extremely difficult.
Yeah, I'm curious as to what the national media response is tomorrow to this game. Because I can already see it now, is they're going to say that, you know, Giannis had a phenomenal game and Harden didn't do very well, you know, offensively. He had an off night shooting the ball. He did this, he did that. But who cares? Like, at this point, it doesn't matter. Win the game. That's all. That nothing else should matter. And I know Rockets fans are going to get upset, and I'm probably part of that group tomorrow because I know what's coming there. But quite frankly, I don't, and we shouldn't care.
Honestly, let them. Let them doubt James Harden. Let them say James Harden had a bad game, because let's not forget 48 hours before this game what he did.
Oh, God.
Like, let's not forget that.
Yeah, against a guy that a prominent member of the national media said should be on the first team All-NBA, and Harden should be on the second.
There's recency bias when it comes to that, I think. I think when people see, you know, same old happen, they're kind of tired of it, and they want that what's new is fresh. That's why Zion is so popular this year, because he hasn't played in the NBA before. It's like news. Like, what's new is fresh, and what is happening right now is the news. And, you know, Luka being really good, that's something that hasn't happened before. This is Luka's best year. Harden, I mean, only because he set the bar so high, it's not his best year. But that doesn't mean that he's not a top 3, 4, 5 player in the league. And the thing is, also, Harden plays with Russell Westbrook and doesn't have to be a top 5 player every night. But he can. Luka doesn't have that luxury of having a top 5 guy, a teammate like Russell Westbrook, to play off of. I'd much rather be James Harden playing with Russell Westbrook, having a chance at the actual NBA title this year, than be Luka Doncic, who's going to get, you know, some first-team votes and may even end up on the first team, but he'll be sitting at home after the first round. So, honestly, much rather be James Harden and the Rockets than Luka and the Mavs.
Yeah.
Especially after tonight, because tonight it looks like the Mavs are fighting to just barely beat Phoenix, and the Rockets are out here beating the 54-13 Milwaukee Bucks.
Sure.
So, hey, it's a great day to be a Rockets fan. Tell you it that.
It absolutely is, and shout out to the Rockets faithful that were on the Michelob Ultra courtside fans. Those fans were bringing it during the game.
Yeah. I remember when we were talking in these pre-bubble podcasts about, like, oh, the communication in the bubble is going to be so much better. But honestly, and I can say watching the baseball, watching all of the basketball so far, I can't even, like, tell sometimes. Like, if you just played the audio, I wouldn't be able to tell if it was in Orlando with no fans, or, like, the illusion takes me out of it. Maybe that's because I'm just so focused on the game, but it takes me away from the reality of everything, and I think that's very fascinating. I'm very impressed with what I've seen from not just the basketball, but I guess the baseball as well, and all the other sports, the WNBA even. If I caught some of the games, WNBA, they've done a good job as well. So there's just so much, like, it takes you away. I'm very pleasantly surprised by the product that we've had in the bubble so far.
Yeah, I think that I love the view that they do of the court when it's like it's courtside, but it's like they put the camera on the floor and it kind of veers like up So you get an upward angle of what's going on the court. I think that's probably the best view that they have. But I genuinely don't think people realize how big of a win this was for the Rockets. Milwaukee is known for being, the best team in the league. And I'm still not convinced Giannis is a great athlete who happens to play basketball. Let me put it that way. I think he's skilled, but I think the love that he gets is overblown to a certain extent. I don't know how to
say that, Mike, about the reigning MVP, soon to be two-time MVP. I don't think it's very fair.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this. Watching him play tonight, He hit two threes. He was 2 of 5 from three.
Well, he doesn't need to be that kind of player. He kind of reminds me of, honestly, and I, this comparison might get me some, might be harsh feedback from some fans, but it kind of reminds me of when LeBron was with the Cavs in his first go around. Like, LeBron was this freak athlete. And he still is in year, 16 and whatever year he's in his career. But whenever LeBron creates a shot, that's when he's going to go to a new level. And, when he went to Miami, that's when he got that shot and kind of went to a whole new level. And we're seeing as he evolves over his career, this is Giannis in year 6, year 7. And we haven't seen the best of Giannis yet. There's still so much potential there. And even without that potential fully realized, this is Giannis at 75%. And I know that there's I was watching Conrad on the Twitter tonight, making fun of the announcers when they'd say, if he makes this consistently. But to be honest, when Giannis sees PJ Tucker guarding him, who is, it seems like twice his size when you watch him on TV, but you have a 6-inch height advantage on him. Why aren't you, of course you're going to take him inside. Of course you're going to, post up on him. And that's why he was successful tonight from the field, 64% from the field. He only needed to make, he's so athletic and so much bigger than everyone that he's playing against. Only makes logical sense for him to go inside, and he has the endurance to be able to do that as well. Maybe later in his career he'll have to develop a shot so that he can maintain his production similar to what LeBron has done. LeBron's kind of reinvented himself by becoming more of a passer and a point guard versus more of a scorer, but he's still a very prolific scorer. So to me, Giannis is doing just fine, and I think that the criticism that he gets is a little bit unfair. Also, you're analyzing a guy that has only realized 75 to 80% of his potential. And look, if the Bucks won tonight, Giannis would have gotten, oh my goodness, of course he's the MVP. This is what he does. And he had a great game tonight. I think people, do you know how hard it is to score 36 and 18 in a game and with 8 assists? That's very difficult. And tonight, I think the Bucks, if there's a reason why the Bucks lost this game, I would have to say they just didn't make enough threes. And that isn't Giannis's job. That is the job of Brooke Lopez, who's been, a good three-point shooter for them this season. He didn't make a three tonight. Wes Matthews is supposed to be making threes. He went 1 of 6. DiVincenzo is out there to make threes, 1 of 6. You have Kyle Korver, who only took 2 shots from beyond the arc. He should be taking more. That shouldn't be Giannis's job. Giannis's job should be the defender that he is and drive. And that's what he does. His job, he doesn't need to make threes as well. That's why he has so many good shooters around him. And that's why the Bucks are so good, is because Giannis, they play similar to the Rockets in terms of they let their guy drive into the paint. And he kicks it out if he's not going to make the shot. And more often than most teams, they make it. Tonight, 9 of 35 from 3 against a team like the Rockets that they're going to make threes. And look, tonight, the amount of shots teams took, Bucks took 92 shots, Rockets 91. free throws, 17 to 23 from the Bucks, 27 to 31 for the Rockets. Advantage Rockets, but also 21 made threes, 9 made threes. That is why the Bucks lost this game. They were not able to keep up with the Rockets' three-point volume. But the thing is, they have the potential to do that. They have the potential to do that, so they just didn't execute.
But you say that it doesn't fall on him. It absolutely does. It's his team.
No, it doesn't. It
absolutely does, though, because it's his team. If the Rockets don't play well, superstars should get the brunt of the criticism. And look, all I'm saying is watching him play night in and night out, the word freak, great freak, is appropriately put on this guy. But I'm telling you this right now. This is his sixth season. He hasn't been to an NBA Finals as of yet. If he doesn't make it there this year, you have to seriously start looking at this roster and say, what else do you want? That you have a fellow superstar in Chris Middleton. Or some people won't call him a superstar. They're certainly paying him like a superstar on the. You're an all-star. You're a superstar. You have Eric Bledsoe, above average NBA talent. George Hill. You have Wes Matthews. You have Marvin Williams. All of these guys are legitimate NBA guys. Kyle Korver. Dante DiVincenzo, who's a nice player.
The roster is definitely not the issue. They have the potential to win a championship. They are the best team in the league, even after tonight. However, what they didn't do tonight was make enough threes. And if they were to play the Rockets again, and the only time they could do that is in October for the finals, which I think people are going to look at as a very possible reality. The what they are going to have to adjust is setting up more plays for Kyle Korver. Because you even said it, Mike, earlier when, you know, how is the national media going to portray this? They're going to say, oh, Giannis had a great game. Giannis is not going to get the blame for this loss, and he shouldn't. He should not get the blame for this loss. He did all that he could, and honestly, what more could you ask from Giannis tonight, honestly?
To not throw the ball away in crunch time when James Harden put the clamps on in the last 30 seconds.
Yes,
I mean, he put the ball to win the game, and he didn't do it.
But that's what's so unfortunate about national media, and that's what the Rockets – that's the biggest reason why James Harden gets a lot of criticism, is because he doesn't show up in crunch time or whatever. But that's not necessarily fair. Right? Is it fair or not to judge Giannis based off of one small factor in the game? I don't think it is.
No, but okay, let me answer that question with a question.
The whole picture, the reason why the Bucks lost tonight and what fans and what Bucks fans should be looking at is why aren't we setting up more plays for Kyle Korver? Why are we not shooting more threes? Now, I get it. It's very enticing to go inside when you have such a height advantage. And that is what is so interesting with small ball. And that's an underrated part of small ball that I don't think a lot of people understand, is that having a height advantage in the paint, it almost intrigues you to go for the 2-point bucket. And that's exactly what the Bucks did most of the night. They shot almost 50% from the field because, look, they had 9 of 35 from the field. So if you take away that, so 92 minus 35, so they took 57 shots. So they were 34. No. They were 36 of 57. So they shot 63% from the 2-point area tonight. They made two of every three shots they took from inside the 3-point line.
But this is, you ask me why they're going to look at their Bucks fans or the team is going to look at, you know, why they don't run more plays for their shooters. And it's simple, because their best player is not a good 3-point shooter. They have to build their offense around the fact that Giannis is not a 3-point shooter. He's not.
Well, that's okay. That's okay.
It's okay, but that's what's holding them back. That's what's holding that team back, and why I think, let me do this, in a 7-game series, who are you taking, the Bucks or the Raptors?
I would personally, Now, you know how I feel about the Raptors. The Raptors are the only team in the East that can beat the Bucks. That's it. And it would be a 7-game series. And that's a maybe. But I think, look, that's, I think, the one team that I think can beat the Bucks. And maybe the Rockets, honestly, because of just how they're built. Now, to me, with the Bucks, so, like, that's the thing is, it's a catch-22 situation, because I'm saying here that they need to make more three-point plays, and they need to set Kyle Korver up for more shots. They need to set George Hill up for more shots, Wes Matthews for more open looks. But look, I mean, look, 2 threes and the Bucks win this game. 2 of their 26 misses and the Bucks win this game. So it's not like they need to change too much. They played very well against a very good Rockets team. But it's a catch-22 situation because you're enticed to make a two-point bucket because you have an advantage of doing so. But then again, you give up so many open looks on the three-point end for the Rockets. Like, most of the 61 three-point shots the Rockets took were wide open. Let's get that right.
Yeah, Tucker had more open shots tonight. Him and Jeff Green, there was a span in the third quarter where Jeff Green, I think, missed 2 in a row and then hit the third. And that's what this team is predicated on, is no conscience. You're open, you shoot the ball. But
and maybe what they should do is guard those passing lanes a little bit better and get those strips that the Rockets were really good at getting tonight, where they would just put their hands out, get those reaches, and they'd strip the ball. Maybe that's what the Bucks need to do maybe a little bit more if they had to make a defensive adjustment from tonight. But if you pay too much attention to those passing lanes to the corner where PJ or Jeff Green is wide open, you're giving enough room for Russ or James, whoever it is driving, the chance to go to the line or to make a layup.
Sure. And
that is why the Rockets have the potential to win it all, because that is how their offense is built. It's genius. It's ahead of its time. It's incredible. It's so incredible to watch, Mike. And we've seen strokes of genius these past two games. It's just, woo, baby.
I think the hardest part that teams are going to have with this Rockets team is, what do you take away? Do you try and isolate and take away James Harden and dare Russell Westbrook to beat you? Because that has shown that that's not going to work. Do you just play straight up one-on-one, no-held defense on James Harden? Because that's not going to work. Because that's, you know, Dallas did that for a quarter, and he went off for, what, 24 points? 23 points in the first quarter against Dallas. Teams are going to have to play Rockets basketball to beat this team. I don't see a big game coming up for the Rockets is against the Lakers. You really think that the Lakers can beat this Rockets team if you keep Dwight Howard and or JaVale McGee on the court for more than 20 minutes? I mean, if I tell you the Lakers beat the Rockets in a couple games, and I said, guess how many minutes JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard are going to combine play, what would be your answer?
It would be like they would have to have a game similar to how Brook Lopez had tonight. And I don't know if JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard can do that.
I don't think so. And there's one team in the West that can play Rockets basketball either as good or better than the Rockets, and that's the Clippers, just with the personnel that they have. And what I was saying before was that the Bucks are in a really tricky spot from at least what I saw tonight. And I don't know how much they miss Eric Bledsoe. I think they miss Eric Bledsoe a lot. But on a night like tonight, if you're going to play Bledsoe, then Wes Matthews wouldn't have played as much as he did. And once again, he played a great game. He played a really, really good game against Harden defensively. But they shot 35 threes. That's 26 less threes than the Rockets took It's going to be really difficult to beat the Rockets if they are shooting that many threes and you're not. And the Rockets are, I can't believe I'm saying this, but they're hedging their bet and saying, look, we're not going to play Tyson Chandler. We're not going to play Bruno Caboclo. We're going to play our guys that we're going to normally play. And we're going to say, you want to go inside? Fine. We're going to bet on guys like Robert Covington and PJ Tucker and Harden and Jeff Green to create steals, which Harden had how many steals tonight? I think he had 5 steals.
He had 6.
6 steals tonight? I mean,
yeah. Don't talk. If anyone ever says that James Harden does not play defense again, I will show them this box score and I'll say, you are wrong, sir or madam, or whichever pronoun you prefer. Because that's a myth. The myth needs to be debunked now, Mike. It's been way too long. The myth needs to be debunked. 6 steals in one game. I don't know how many guys have had 6 steals in one game this year. I'm sure James is not the only person, because I think that, you know, I think it's a lot, but I feel like that number has been surpassed this year, but it's from James Harden. So, like, don't tell me James Harden doesn't play defense, because you're wrong.
Yeah, and I thought Mark Jackson – by the way, I thought Mark Jackson and JV and Jeff Van Gundy did a fantastic job calling this game. They're my favorite broadcast combo, and it's not even close. I don't know if it's the same for you. But I thought Mark Jackson put it perfectly tonight, where he said, James Harden is not a great defender, but he's much better than where he was last year, the year before. I mean, you know, he actively tries on defense. And I loved his post-game reaction when somebody asked him, I think it may have been Mark Berman from Fox 26, and, you know, they made reference to what Giannis said, where Giannis basically called him out. And James Harden says, I have nothing to prove to anybody. And he's not wrong. He's 100% correct in saying he's just playing his game. And the Rockets win a championship this year? I don't know. Maybe. But for me, the fact that the face of our franchise is playing the way that he's playing right now makes me incredibly proud to be a Rockets fan.
Only 8 guys have had more than 6 steals in a game this season. OG Anunoby, Jonathan Isaac, who unfortunately tore his ACL today. Terrible. The first real major injury in the bubble. Hopefully, speedy recovery for him. Elfrid Payton, Ricky Rubio, Ben Simmons did it twice. Dennis Smith and Fred VanVleet. So a lot of people have 6. Daniel House had 6 at one point this year. And Robert Covington had 1 against the Rockets when he was still with the Wolves. So he's the 3rd Rocket this year to record 6 or more steals in the game. That's pretty impressive. So that's besides the point. Let's shift gears here a little bit, because I have a question on here on Twitter that I'd like to address now. Sure. It's from at the 6'5", and that's a PJ Tucker Stan account. So he asks, if the Rockets keep this up, do we need Eric Gordon? Does he make us better? And the answer is yes, Eric Gordon does make us better. And that's also what makes the Rockets super scary. Now, I think that question might get some, you know, troubled faces when it comes out of my mouth and people listen to it for the first time. But Eric Gordon is meant to be better. Like, when he – otherwise he wouldn't have been in the 9-man rotation. And the Rockets are going to run 9-man rotations. I don't think that Eric Gordon is going to come in and replace any of these guys. I think he's going to come in and simply complement everyone else. And I don't know, Mike, I want to hear your thoughts on this. What does Eric Gordon bring to the table here? Like, if Eric Gordon were to play tonight, how would this game have been different?
So a couple things. Number one, you're paying the guy, he's on a 5-year, $90 million deal. You're going to play him. So not playing him, I don't think is ever going to happen.
All right. Well, also the Sixers are playing Al Horford, who they signed to much more money, off the bench. So, sure. To me, I don't think that money has much to do with it.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, in whatever role he's going to come back, he's going to be a part of your rotation. And I would argue that through these first two games, Daniel House should be your starting small forward on this team.
Daniel House is playing with a chip on his shoulder.
He absolutely is. And you can tell with some of his post-game comments that he's made through these first two games, he wants to come out and say, I want to be the starter. But he's trying to just say, hey, I'm doing whatever's best for the team. His best role is as the starting small forward with this team. He plays better with Harden and with Westbrook together on the court as much as possible. But getting back to the question, I think it's different because Eric Gordon would probably replace some of the minutes played by Ben McLemore. McLemore got 20 minutes, and he had 9 points, and he was a plus 14, which is great to see. The Rockets bench tonight was a plus 41 between Jeff Green, Ben McLemore, and Austin Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
The one reason why I say Eric Gordon, when he comes back, is going to get a good amount of minutes is because he helps preserve some of the energy and burst of other guys on the team. You know, he's a guy that you don't necessarily have to play Russell Westbrook 48 minutes. Harden only had 34 minutes tonight because he was in foul trouble. But P.J. Tucker's 38 minutes and Robert Covington's 37 minutes. P.J. Tucker is a guy that you have to look out for minutes-wise because he's playing a position now going up against the biggest guys on the court. He's going to need as much rest as possible. And having a guy like Gordon can help spell out some of those minutes where you take him off the court, you put Jeff Green and Eric Gordon on the court to kind of offset what Tucker does with the three-point ball and then with his, Green's ability to cover the big man. So
minutes are going to add up, and they're going to – this energy is going to add up as the season goes on.
Correct. And that's why you need Eric Gordon back. I will say this. I really like what I've seen from McLemore these first two games as a whole, but defensively he scares the ever-living you-know-what out of me. Because quite honestly,
Gordon is better defender than McLemore is.
Correct. Correct. And that's Eric Gordon, thicker. He's bigger. I think he's a good defensive player. Eric Gordon could be a guy that you can just show a different look to Giannis. You're not going to slow down Giannis with Eric Gordon, but he's another guy that you can throw at him. I loved what I saw from Austin Rivers tonight defensively against a guy like DiVincenzo. Austin Rivers played a really nice 19 minutes for the team tonight as well. You need Eric Gordon back. You need Eric Gordon to come back healthy because when he does, he's going to play major minutes in this rotation.
Mm-hmm. I think Eric Gordon, but also when Eric Gordon comes back, he needs to play to his potential. And I think that if we got the Eric Gordon that we got in the preseason playing tonight, I don't know if the Rockets win this game because he needs to be able to execute. And maybe if he takes more – because I think Eric Gordon, if he got the wide-open looks that Green got, that House got, that Tucker got, if he has those, he's very capable of making them as well. But before he got injured, he wasn't making them. And that was the concerning part of – Eric Gordon, is that a guy that should be making these shots at a much better rate than he is shooting absolutely not up to his potential. And we need the right Eric Gordon back. The idea of Eric Gordon and the starting power of the starting small forward that Mike D'Antoni sees in him, that's who we need back. We need Eric Gordon to execute. And Eric Gordon said he's a very streaky player. And we've seen that over the years. And the highs are very high. Remember in the 2018 conference finals, Eric Gordon was, like, other than James Harden, possibly the best player on the court. Especially in the last two games when Chris Paul was hurt. Eric Gordon was possibly the best player on. And there were concerns going into that series with Eric Gordon. Remember, because he struggled against the Jazz. He struggled against the Timberwolves that postseason, but against the Warriors, he showed out. So hopefully that's the Eric Gordon we get when he does return. The Rockets are going to need him because he does help the team defensively. That's something that you know, on Friday, I think if Eric Gordon was playing, the Rockets would never have let up as many points as they did. Tonight, I think that it would have been difficult. I think that he would have had to execute. That's all that we need from Eric Gordon. That's what we need from everybody, is just execution. And tonight, I think the Rockets executed better than the Bucks, and that's why the Rockets won, because the Bucks are built, their roster is built to where they can win every game on paper. They are meant to win every game on paper. They come into every game expecting to win, similar to how the Rockets were 2 years ago. Is the Rockets would enter a game no matter who it would be, and you would expect to win. And that's how the Bucks are built this year. So the Rockets, they, and the Rockets are approaching that status. I think that it took them a little bit of time to get used to each other in the pre-Covington trade. Then when the post-Covington trade games took place, it took them a little bit of time to adjust. And now we're seeing them at their peak. And the Rockets are, like, to me, we both said it in the schedule preview. We both thought this would be a loss. And they surprised us today with a win. And it's because they executed better. They played their brand of basketball better than the Bucks. The problems that I thought that they might have had with their identity are completely squashed. They definitely know who they are, and they play their game very well. And I'm very excited to see what's to come with this team, because I think we've only reached the tip of the iceberg at this point. Mike, I'm really looking forward to what the Rockets have in store for these next couple of games.
Yeah. There are things I know this is a happy, you know, show, obviously starting off 2-0. There are some things that do worry me a little bit, not a little bit. I mean, a lot as it pertains to this team, but I love what I've seen thus far. But the number one thing that I point to, and the word that I'm going to use for these first two wins, is resiliency. This team is resilient. Mm-hmm. You know, this team is led. I think you look at guys like PJ Tucker, who does the right thing on and off the court. Robert Covington is a monster. I mean, this dude, all he wants to do is block shots, get steals, and hit threes. And I love that about him. Austin Rivers is tough. This team is just tough. And what I love about these guys is that they will go up against anybody. They don't care who it is. They just want to play ball. And they have a lot to prove. You're going to find, I don't know if it was you and I who talked about this, but find me a team that feels like they have more to prove right now than the Rockets. Maybe the Lakers, because of LeBron being LeBron and, you know, acquiring Anthony Davis.
I don't think the Lakers feel the pressure like the Rockets do.
I don't think so either. I think you look at the best teams. I think the Clippers, Kawhi just won a title last year. So I think the, you know, Doc Rivers has already won a title too. Like, the best teams in the league, I think, want it, but the Rockets need it. James Harden needs this title to be able to throw it in people's faces. Mm-hmm. And he's never going to say that, but so does Russell Westbrook, and so does Mike D'Antoni. And Mike D'Antoni, for however people want to feel about this guy, he's just listen to him talk. He's a great guy, and he's been in this league a long time. I want him to have a title. I want Westbrook. I want Harden. I want PJ Tucker to have a championship, because they deserve it. Mm-hmm. These guys have been so close the last 4 years that they can taste it. And a win like tonight can propel this team. It doesn't matter who they play. The Portlands, the Denvers, the Utahs, whatever. Dallas lost to Phoenix tonight. Like, this team can beat anybody. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to see what this team does the rest of the way.
Well, speaking of Portland, the Rockets get the Blazers on Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of teams that need something to prove, Portland is right up there with the Rockets. They are looking to prove their spot in the playoffs, and their playoff lives are on the line. They took a loss today that puts them out of ninth. Believe it or not, the San Antonio Spurs, the only teams that are 2-0 right now in the bubble are Phoenix, San Antonio, and your Houston Rockets.
I feel like the San Antonio Spurs are John McClane and Die Hard, and they just won't die.
Yeah.
Like, they're just – they keep – I'm like, what? Like, what? Where did you come from? And then I realized that Greg Popovich is still there, and Greg Popovich is going to Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
Are you at all worried about the Blazers game? Because I
– you know, it's a trap game.
Yeah.
And if there's – you know, the Rockets are going to have some trap games coming up. Portland is definitely one of them. But the thing is, I don't think that the Rockets see it as a trap game, which is good. Portland is very capable of playing well, and they're very familiar with Portland. Russell Westbrook wants his revenge on Portland for what they did to his team last year in the playoffs. And this game, if Portland loses, could stink them pretty badly, because right now that West race, as tight as it was before the bubble began, it's even tighter now. As of Sunday night, the Spurs are in ninth at 21 games back. They're two ahead of the Grizzlies for eighth. Portland is a half game back of San Antonio. New Orleans and Sacramento are a game and a half back. And Phoenix, who has won their first two games, they're two games back. So that race just gets that much tighter. And Portland is fighting for their playoff spot. And that is going to be that to me, I could see the Rockets dropping this game only because the Portland Trailblazers need this game a lot more than the Rockets do. Now, the Rockets are also playing for something. They're playing for positioning in the Western playoff race. They jumped tonight from 6 to 4. They jumped Oklahoma City and Utah. So they are now fourth, tied with Utah for fourth, and they're a half game ahead of Oklahoma City. They're only one game back of Denver for third. So, and we talked about how seeding doesn't really matter, but I think psychologically it does for the Rockets, because it gives them – it gives them some confidence moving forward. And that's what these eight games are for. If the Rockets didn't have all the confidence in the world before they started the bubble, they certainly have it now. Coming back from how they did on Friday and beating the best team in the bubble today, the Rockets have that momentum, and they need to keep it going. That's what they risk by dropping one of these games, is losing that momentum. And there might not be enough time to regain it if they do, because if they lose on Tuesday – they get the Lakers on Thursday, and you don't want to drop two games in a row, especially when you're so close to so many of these other teams. So that, I think this is a good place to park the rocket ship for now. But thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Harden My Take. We'll be back Thursday with a preview of that Lakers game. So be sure to tune into our next episode. If you don't want to miss an episode of Harden My Take, be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. To not miss a single episode, we will be going Mondays and Thursdays for the bubble second season. And then when the playoffs come, we're going to try to go every game, depending on how our schedules are. We're hoping to do every game. We might miss one or two games there, but we will get you a next day recap for sure. But yeah, this is a real exciting time to be a Rockets fan, real exciting time to be a co-pilot of Harden My Take with you, Michael Brown. Drop your Twitter handle so that the Red Nation can hit you up.
You can find me on Twitter at @UHBigRedHatGuy. And if you would like to talk some Rockets basketball, make sure to use the hashtag Slim Jim and the Pocket Rockets.
He only responds to Slim Jim and the Pocket Rockets. I've tried talking with him without the hashtag, and he won't respond to me. So be sure to use the hashtag Slim Jim and the Pocket Rockets. If you would like to throw the hashtag at my Twitter as well, you're more than welcome to. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner, JeremyBrenner. If you'd like to follow the Dream Shake, be sure to do so at DreamShakeSBN. Give us a like on Facebook if you haven't done so already, to not miss a single article from the DreamShake.com, home of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. Our team has you covered for all things Houston Rockets in this bubble and beyond. Bubble basketball, man. This is, I can't remember the last time I was this excited for for Rockets basketball. But here we are. And thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. And until next time, go Rockets.